Bible or turn in your pew Bible to Romans chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. And as you're turning there, two other quick announcements. First of all, we still have copies of the 5-day-a-week Bible reading program. And don't think, well, it's January 10th, it's too late, I'll just wait till 2022. Don't do that. If you even only read a chapter a day, it will do your heart good. It will strengthen you in your walk of faith. And if you need a Bible, and this applies not only to church family, those who are joining by live stream, we have extra copies of the Bible we use, English Standard Version. They're available right there in the back. Underneath the table there, just take one. But if you take it, don't put it on the back shelf of your car. Don't hide it away. I encourage you to take it and to read it, study it, and all to God's glory and praise. But hear God's word this morning. Romans chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. But we're focusing on verse 4, which is our 2021 Hope Presbyterian Church year verse. But hear God's word, Romans 15, verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes, that we might behold wondrous things in your law. Soften our hearts, Father, so that these seeds of the gospel would fall on fertile soil. Lord, pray that your Holy Spirit, even as we read your word, study your word, we pray that we would not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. By your grace and for your glory, we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. You know, our Hope Presbyterian Church year verse for 2021 is Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever was written in former times was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Looked it up. This is the 10th year verse of my pastorate here at Hope Presbyterian Church. I've got a record of the other year verses. But what's the significance of selecting a year verse for a church? Let me offer three brief reasons why it's a helpful spiritual practice for you and for our church, for me. First, it centers our minds and hearts on God's written word. You know, we're not just having a theme for the year, but we're centering on the word of God. It's not the only verse that we should read and meditate upon in 2021, but it whets our appetite to daily feed upon scriptures. Secondly, it calls us as Christians to daily claim the gracious promises of Scripture. Yes, it's only one of God's great promises. I'm not a mountain climber, but think of this analogy. It's like a climber's piton. Maybe you've seen it. They're driving that big nail into the wall of the cliff. And why do they do that? So they can keep on climbing. It's a secure anchor point for their ropes. But third and finally, it's a church-wide endeavor. You know, it's calling all of us as worshipers, calling every youth. And yes, it's a longer verse, but I believe even our children can learn it. Every covenant family, all of God's family of faith to claim God's promises. So let's say it together this morning. If it's into the pew Bibles there, Romans 15:4 on page 949. Preferably, you have your own Bible. You can star it, underline it, or it's there in the bulletin as well. But let's say Romans 15:4 together. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And this morning, as we center on this one verse, we see that in Scripture, God graciously provides believers with unfailing gospel hope and purpose. And so the question then is, how can we know God's gospel hope and purpose? You know, focusing on just Romans 15, verse 4, we'll see these. This is the outline: scriptural edification first, instruction. Secondly, scriptural endurance and encouragement. That's the second point. And then finally, there's a scriptural ending of hope. Let's begin with that first truth: scriptural edification. You know, for whatever was written in former times was written for our instruction. Just to look at Romans 15:4 in context, and it's always important to study a verse in context, all of the verses surrounding it. If you go back to Romans 15:14, and we're not going to read it, but the Apostle Paul has been proclaiming the gospel message of Christian liberty, Christian love, and the need to pursue God's peace with our fellow believers. And now here at the beginning of Romans 15, you know, God's word reminds the strong believers, you know, those who are firm in their faith in Christ, who know God's word, read God's word, study God's word, those who are strong believers to bear with the failings of the weak, you know, the weaker believers, the newer believers, those who are battling against sin. You know, we're to bear with them. We should willingly carry their burdens of the weaker brother sisters in Christ. We should not seek to first please ourselves, Romans 15:2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. You know, and how do we build one another up in faith? Well, going ahead to verse 4, we build one another up by the word of God, by studying the word of God together, memorizing the word of God together, proclaiming the word of God. You know, Christians should always be ready to build up fellow believers. You know, but where is the might and the motivation to carry out these humble tasks? Well, now, verse 4 of Romans 15. You know, for whatever was written in earlier times. Here the Apostle Paul is pointing us back to Old Testament scriptures. In fact, if you go back to Romans 15:3, you know, the Apostle Paul is quoting Psalm 69, verse 9, that same psalm that we read this morning. We read in Romans 15:3, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And that verse is speaking of Christ. Psalm 69 is a messianic psalm. It's pointing us ahead to Christ. It reminds us that Christ did not please himself. All of Christ's life was one of humble self-denial, holy sacrifice. But here it speaks as well about the reproaches of Christ. Mocking by sinful men. Suffering on the cross, his disgraceful death for our sins. You know, these all were prophesied reproaches. You know, but here we begin to see with the importance of Old Testament scriptures, all of scripture points us to Christ. You know, hear this, Luke 24, verse 27. You might remember Jesus. This is after Jesus' resurrection. He's walking with two followers on the road to Emmaus, and they still don't know who he is. But he is teaching them, Luke 24, 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know, that's a great verse to keep in mind when you're reading through the Bible. You know, at times when we're going through the Old Testament, genealogies or geography, whatever it might be, you know, you're wondering if you're like me, you know, why? How does this all fit in? Well, it does. You know, in God's wisdom, in God's economy, all of Scripture points us to Christ. And here the Apostle Paul reminds us, whatever is written in former times, a reminder that we're to read the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. We're to read all of God's Word. And why do we read it? For whatever was written in former times was written for our instruction. You know, a question is often asked, well, who wrote Scripture? Well, Scripture tells us who wrote Scripture. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter 1:21. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So holy men wrote the holy word of God. Yes, question asked, well, who wrote? Did men write the word of God? Yes, they did. You know, but it truly was God who inspired, guided, directed these men of God as they captured, you know, God's very word in writing for us. And it was written for our instruction. You know, as faithful Christians, we should gladly sit in God's classroom and joyfully learn the unchanging truths of his word. You know, again, all of Scripture points us to Christ. Now, if you turn ahead there, those verses we read in Romans 15, beginning with verse 9, you know, four different times Paul quotes the Old Testament. There in verse 9, 2 Samuel 22:50, in verse 10, Deuteronomy 32:43, verse 11, Psalm 117, verse 1, and verse 12, Isaiah 11:1, and Isaiah 11:10. And then he concluded there with our 2016 year verse, Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And here we see the God's bookends of hope. You know, the hope that we read about there in Romans 15:4 and that hope there in Romans 15:13, you know, instruction, the word of God, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. To be specific, learning what we are to believe about God and what duty God requires of man. Doctrine and duty. You know, there's a content, there's a meat, there's a substance to our study of Scripture. But when we read Scripture as well, you know, there's a duty placed upon us that we're to live it out to God's glory and praise. You know, and as you read through the Old Testament Scripture especially, and that's where we can get waylaid in our Bible reading program, let me give you three critical reasons, three scriptural reasons, you know, why we are to read all of God's Word, but including the Old Testament. You know, first, there in the Old Testament, we learn about the glorious character of our triune God. You know, the majesty of His creation, the mercy of His redemption. Remember Abraham, you know, how God graciously spared Isaac, Abraham's promised son, there in Genesis 22. We remember God's providential rescue of Jonah. And yes, I believe that's a true story. We think of His redemption, you know, of hopeless Naomi there in the book of Ruth. You know, we learn about the glorious character of our triune God. We come across verses like this, Micah chapter 7, 18 and 19. You know, write this down. Look at it later. Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of His inheritance? He does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Makes you want to read more, I trust. Me read more. We learn about the glorious character of our triune God there in the Old Testament, but we learn about the deadly crisis of sin. You know, yes, there is sin in the New Testament. Certainly we read it there in the opening chapters of Romans. You know, but we see the gravity, the destructive character of sin, beginning there in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve's fall into sin, you know, God's curse upon sin. As you read through the history of Israel, you can read about how their sin of idolatry kept nipping at their heels and kept bringing the downfall of kings, kingdoms, worship. You know, we think of the impact of sin today. You know, brothers and sisters, we live in a sin-filled world. We shouldn't be surprised by that. Shocked. Yes, it affects our health, politics, marriages, families, work, relations with our neighbors. Our sin merits God's holy wrath. We read God's Word so that we would know the deadly crisis of sin. But finally, we read God's Word so that we would see His covenant of grace. Yes, His grace even there After Adam and Eve's fall in the garden, you know, God gave that promise of grace, you know, that the seed of woman, Christ himself, would crush the head of the serpent. And you see that flowing throughout all of the Old Testament, carrying over into the New Testament, into the birth of Christ, the sinless life of Christ, his sacrificial death. You know, God's grace to us now. You know, here are these verses again. We've looked at them already, but hear them again. Romans 3:23-24. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, Charles Hodge put it this way: the facts recorded in the scriptures are designed for our instruction. We will always be students of God's word, and that's a good thing. In fact, I believe even in heaven, we'll still be studying God's word. And you know who will be teaching us? I believe it will be Jesus himself teaching us, just as certainly as he taught his followers there on the road to Emmaus. All of scripture points us to Christ. Scriptural edification, scriptural instruction. Give this example. You know, as a father, I can still remember, and maybe some of you can identify with this, I can still remember assembling a bicycle, a wagon, a dollhouse, a basketball goal. You know, Christmas Eve, you know, you have that deadline of dawn, you know, the clock's ticking. And, you know, I learned the hard way that it's helpful to find and follow the enclosed instructions. You know, sometimes we men think, hey, I don't need instructions. I can figure this out. And then you have to go in the trash, dig out the instructions, and even when you find the instruction, they're always in tiny print, written in a confusing fashion. You know, but to complete the task, the point is this: it's important to follow the maker's instruction. And if that's true with toys, basketball goals, how much more is it true with the eternal things of life? So let us as Christians daily read, study, memorize, practice the gracious instruction that God provides for us. That's the foundation here. But look again at Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures. Scriptural edification, scriptural endurance, and encouragement. You know, endurance. It's translated patience in the King James, perseverance in the New American Standard. Lenski reminds us that it is needed, endurance is needed by those who carry the weaknesses of the weak. You know, don't we need endurance today, perseverance, steadfastness? A scriptural steadfastness even in stormy seasons? You know, and that endurance and encouragement, yes, comes from scriptures, but it truly comes from God himself. You know, skip ahead to Romans 15:5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. You know, endurance. You know, our God graciously gave us his word to empower us to endure in extreme trials. You know, and again, brothers and sisters, you know, for those who are thinking, well, you know, the cloud's going to lift any day now, it's going to get dramatically better, you know, in a day, a week, a month. we need to be prepared for hard days ahead. Spiritually. And where do we find that strength from to endure? You know, it's in God's word. You know, we don't have the strength. You know, our hope is not in politics. Our hope is not in the economy. Our hope is in the Lord, you know, that he gives us strength to endure. And he gives us daily strength to endure. You know, think of Israel and their wilderness journey. You know, when did God provide that manna? Well, here's a 40-year supply. No, he supplied it every day, except on the Sabbath day. You know, did they carry wagons filled with water? No, God provided water from a rock when it was needed. You know, we're praying for patience, perseverance, God's power to resist sin as we feed upon his word. You know, give you an example from the life of Christ himself. You know, there in Matthew chapter 4, you remember that Jesus is being tempted by Satan. And Jesus has been fasting. Satan tempts him. You know, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And Matthew 4, verse 4, we read, it is written, or it stands written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You know, if Jesus said that, if Jesus believed it, Jesus prized that gospel truth, how much more do we need it? You know, by the way, he was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Endurance, through the endurance of Scripture, through the encouragement of Scriptures, the comfort, the consolation of God's word. You know, if you need comfort in crisis, this is where we are to turn as Christians, to the word of God. Endurance and encouragement. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scriptures, to exhortation, it's that same word, encouragement, and to teaching. You know, there is a sure solace of Scripture. You know, it's a work of God to illumine our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit as we study Scripture. The Holy Spirit instructs us here. You know, but the Holy Spirit always points us to Christ. Even as we're convicted of sin, called to bow, to confess our sins there at the cross before Christ, but the Word of God comforts us. You know, it's medicine for our souls. Endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, literally the writings. You know, John Murray put it this way, both the steadfastness and the comfort are derived from the Scriptures and are therefore dependent upon these Scriptures and draw their character and value from them. That through the endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures. And you know, for parents, grandparents, you know, those who work with children, start young. You know, in fact, start, you know, from birth. You know, read the Word of God to children. You know, I look back on my own life. When I was 7 years old, I spent a week every summer at a Christian camp till I was 12. Later worked, ministered at that same camp. Sunday afternoon, went right after church, ended on Saturday morning. We had a great time at camp. We hiked, we swam, we played games, ate s'mores. And as well, we studied the Bible. memorized scripture, sang Bible songs. You know, one of the Bible songs I can remember from childhood is this. You know, maybe you know it, maybe you don't. I'm not going to sing it for you, but it goes like this. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. You know, here, 58 years later, you know, still know that song. You know, still believe it's true. I stand alone on the Word of God. It's good for 7 years old. It's good when you're 70 as well. You know, in preparing for today's sermon, I asked myself the question, and by the way, that's a good way to study Scripture. You're reading Scripture, ask questions of Scripture. And the question I asked of this verse was this: why does Romans 15:4 say through the endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures? You know, why doesn't it say through the endurance and encouragement of the Holy Spirit? Or endurance, encouragement of Christ? But if you look at Romans 15:4, you'll see that Christ is mentioned there in verse 3, mentioned again in verse 5, again in verse 6 and following. No, but the application is this, that in Scripture, yes, in the Bible, you know, we receive God's promised endurance and encouragement, you know, that leads us to Christ. You know, but it starts with Scripture. You know, and the Scripture points us to Christ. The Scripture leads us to Christ. The Scripture strengthens us in our walk of faith with Christ. You know, you remember the cry of the apostles there in John chapter 6, verse 68. Actually, it was Simon Peter. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And where else can we turn other than to Christ, to the word that teaches us about Christ? But there's a scriptural ending of hope here. Again, Romans 15:4, we've seen that scriptural edification, scriptural endurance and encouragement, finally a scriptural ending. "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." You know, it's not we might could have hope. Actually, it's, you know, we have hope now. It's a present tense, but it's with the idea that we might always have hope. We have it today. We'll have it tomorrow. We'll have this hope every day until Christ comes again. Douglas Moo put it this way: "The instruction Christians gain from the Scriptures has many purposes. One of these," Paul asserts in the second part of the verse, "is so that we might have hope." We saw that hope in Psalm 96 or 69. You read through the book of Romans, encourage you to do that again. You'll see that word hope mentioned at least a dozen or more times. You know, Christian hope. You know, what does it mean to have that hope? You know, three ways of thinking about it. You know, first, it's a present possession. You know, we have hope even here and now. That hope of salvation by grace through faith in Christ. That's the greatest hope that we can know. A genuine hope. Unshakable hope. Hope is a present possession. But secondly, it's God's promised possession. You know, that hope that grows us in our love for Christ, grows us in our grace and knowledge and love for Jesus. You know, and it ought to be a growing hope in Christ. You know, it's my prayer for you, for me, for our church family, no matter what happens politically, economically, militarily, that we might have that growing hope in Christ. And I believe it will shine. You know, that hope of Christ will shine in the darkness here in this coming year. Third, it's a permanent possession. You know, when God gives us hope in Christ, he doesn't take it away. God's not an Indian giver. You know, he loves me not. No, we have that permanent possession of hope in Christ. You know, and how do we know that? Because of Christ's death for our sins on the cross, his shed blood. What's that hope look like? It's been described this way, a joyful expectation of eternal confidence. A joyful expectation of eternal confidence. You know, we live by hope, and by God's grace, we ought to die. Enter glory with hope still in our hearts. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3, what has been called the beatific vision, but hear it, 1 John 3, verse 2 and following. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And now verse 4, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Tell an old story. You might have heard this before, but there was a U.S. submarine named the Thresher. It was built at Portsmouth Naval Shipyard in Maine, commissioned August 3rd, 1961. It was the lead boat of her class of nuclear-powered submarines in the U.S. Navy. Her motto was, here's my Latin spor, vis tactia, or silent strength. But on April 10th, 1963, she was undergoing some more deep-sea diving tests just east of Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And they lost all radio contact with the submarine. The vessel sank to the bottom of the ocean. All of her crew of 129 was lost. After an extended and thorough search of the ocean depths, they were able to recover a few little bits that showed that indeed the submarine had sunk, no hope of recovery. And that was their mindset then, no hope. You know, consider the heartache and hopelessness of the family of those lost crew members on the USS Thresher. And I have vague memories. I was 8 back then, but it was in the news all over the Northeast. You know, at the stressful start of this new year, you might be struggling to find a short-lived reason for hope. And not that they're wrong reasons, but they're short-lived. You know, reception of a COVID vaccine, you know, that we'll all be able to take it and that it will work as it was designed to work. That's a hope, a real hope. The restart of in-classroom instruction, new political leaders. My personal hope that we'll be able to gather together for First Sunday lunches and greet one another with hugs and handshakes. Hope, short-lived hope, that we'll soon be able to visit with friends and family in nursing homes. But I know as well that many of you, and at times myself included, battle hopelessness. And so the question is, how can we know God's unfailing hope? It begins with an intentional study of God's Word. And as we study Scripture, let us ask the Holy Spirit to use God's Word to instruct us, to enable us to endure during evil times. May we pray that God's Scripture would encourage us, comfort us in our walk of faith with Christ. But finally, let us rest in Scripture's promise of hope in Christ. Christ, who alone can give us that enduring and encouraging hope of salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the God of all hope. You not only possess hope, Lord, but you give us hope by grace through faith in Christ. And Lord, pray that we would know the promise of hope as we read it proclaimed in your word. Lord, pray that we would not only prize that gospel hope, but pray as well that that you would use us to share that hope in Christ. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, before